need it, it, the devil ain't playing with us. I want y'all to know that. You know, he want to do what he want to do. If God didn't put a lease on that dude, he would be tearing up stuff now. We're living in a bad situation now. The earth is, I think, is worse off than they know. What I'm surprised at is the prophets. We don't hear no prophets. In my day, there were prophets. And they told us and kept us abreast of what things are going on. But we're going to have some sense and pray and read our Bibles and seek the Lord so he can tell us what's going on. Because it's... brother, you still got my tape back there? He said, this is my testimony. Some of my testimony. Praise him. Yes, Lord. When I first began to walk with the Lord, I didn't know how to trust him, how he tried to make me understand that I could. So through the valleys he led me, afraid as I could be, till I felt his loving eyes comforting me. But I've been through enough to know he'd be enough for me. He's come through so many times that sets my mind at ease. For sure, I'll stake my very life, he's gonna take care of me. He'll take care of you too. 'Cause I've been through enough. Be enough for me. How could I ever doubt a God whose hands hold the universe? How could I ever question his ability? There's no place that I could go where he doesn't know the things that trouble me. He's always aware of where I am or what I need. That sets my mind at ease. I'll stake my purpose. He's gonna take care of me. And you too. Yes, Lord. 'Cause I've been through enough to know he'd be enough for me. Thank you. mountain, though he'll be enough for me. Praise the Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We all should know that's enough for us. We've been through enough to know that the Lord will bring us through. God, give me strength. Give me strength, Lord. Well, Mother, I won't be long up here. I already told Derek, I won't be long. No, I got my mama here. She sure know how to come for me and my wife. But, man, I tell you, well, Mother, you was in our Sunday school this morning, and the Lord sure was speaking to us what you were saying. He's confirming the word. We was talking about revival, how we get there. How do we get to this revival? It takes some work. You know, it don't take coming sitting in church doing the same thing over and over and over. It takes some work. Fasting and praying, I'm like, God, I'm just sitting over there just soaking it up. I said, Lord, just answer. I'm seeking the Lord for a fast. I said, Lord, I want you to tell me how many days, what days, because the revival starts within us. You know, God wants to see the revival too. And we want him to move. But we got to move out of these places that we are in. You know, we are too comfortable where we are. And I sometimes kind of don't like saying these type of things, but I'm glad you said it in passing. Won't be like I'm fussing at my brothers and my sisters, but you know, God do want to move. We want to see him move, and God knows he need to move, and we know he need to move, but we got to move. You know, we got to get in this place, and we got to fast, we got to pray. I was just talking to him about what I say, Sister Selena, shutting myself in, getting rid of the telephone. I mean, come here and shut the door, lock the door, and not say too much, but listen to what God want to say. Because God want to speak. There's prophets right among us. It is. He said he gave gifts unto men, some teachers, some preachers, some prophets. There's some prophets sitting in here. It is. I guarantee you, we start seeking God like we supposed to, you be finding yourself using your gift. But God gonna do it. Because people gonna, maybe he got to starve us out. maybe we say we hungering and thirsting, but maybe he got to bring us to a famine to where we got to really seek God. You know? But I tell you, you know, we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And he said, in due time, he will exalt us. But we don't want God humbling us. We don't. I don't. You know, because when I read the Bible and see how he humbled people, my God. He did that king that said he did all of this stuff after God and did it, and then he started getting himself the glory. He said, okay, you go and tell him the word came to him that day. You go and tell him that he's going to be out there. His hair going to grow long like sheep or goat. He's going to have claws. He's going to be out there in the fields grazing on four, all four, knees and hands. Not for a little while. He was out there for 7 years eating grass and all molded. But God restored him after he came to himself. So we just don't know what God would do to get our attention. But whatever he's got to do, I said for myself, Lord, whatever you got to do to get my attention, get my attention. You know, because God would bring you down, but he sure can lift you up. So whatever he's got to do to us to get to us, get to where we want to go, where he want to take us, and God going to do it. We keep saying it. We keep saying it. Thank God for all of you all saying that the Lord is speaking to you about the fast and the, you know, coming and seeking the Lord. It's a time to seek him. I mean, it is a time we all been through, but not as enough, not like you. But whatever we've gone through, we know him. We know that God can bring us out. Because we've been through whatever we've been through. It's enough for me. It should be enough for you. So, man. I said I'm not going to be up here alone. And I think I mean that. I thank the Lord for being here this morning. Thank God for my wife. Thank God always for Pastor, who allows me to stand in her stead. I thank the Lord for this church. I thank God for it. I really do. It's been a blessing to me, you know, and all the saints, not just this building, but the saints, the people that come here with a sincere heart, you know, with God on their mind, want to see a change. I just thank the Lord for all of y'all. And I know today is Christmas Eve. I don't have a Christmas sermon. I'm going to be real short today. But when I think about Christmas, I think about not the birth of Jesus. This is his birthday. I don't know when he was born. You know, the Bible don't even speak of it. But I think about what he did, him just coming, you know, and the gifts that he has given us in spite of how we are. You know, he left us with gifts. He left us with the comforter. He didn't leave us comforters. He left us with everything that we need. I just think about how great he is, how great he's been in my life. You know, I think that it's good that everybody would get up and tell them old testimonies. I think we need to have a good old-fashioned testimony service. That might bring a revival. Who knows? Because when you start thinking and looking back over where God brought you from, folk just get the praising. They get the praising out of their shoes. You know, they're wearing wigs. Wigs come off. When you start thinking about what God has done for you, you don't care what you got on. You just think where he brought you from. I think about it all the time. How we was living in a little two-bedroom house, apartment, 7, 8 of us crammed in there like sardines. You know, but God has been good to us. You know, I thank God for those kind of places. You know, David said, look, it was good that I was afflicted. I know his commandments. And sometimes it's good that you are afflicted so you know how to keep his ways. You know, God don't afflict you sometimes. You think that when these things come up on you, why me? It ain't supposed to happen to me. Oh, yeah, it is. It's supposed to happen to you. But I think about giving. How he gave his, God gave his son, how Jesus gave his life. You know, he laid his life down. Man, for me, for you, but I know me, I don't know you. He gave his life for a person like me. Man, he's got to be a good and faithful God, all I can say. If he came and left all them 99 and came and found this one beat up, raggedy, distorted, lonely, hard-headed, no good sheep and brought me into his fold. It's like he bringing me into a place where I don't belong when I came. These are clean folk. These are sanctified folk. These are holy folk. And he bringing me into his house. I fell out of place. But thanks be unto God who sought me out when I was not even seeking him. Came and got me out of a nightclub. One of me and my sister's places. We used to hang out, not knowing one another. But a nightclub, he came and got me. Don't tell me Jesus won't go and sit with no. He sat with the publicans. He sat with wine bibblers. He sat with me. He came in a club and stayed for a while and told me to get out of there and delivered me from that life. So I think about what God has done for us, how he laid his life down. And I'm going to be reading out the book of Luke, second chapter, and I'm going to jump back to Isaiah chapter 9. God is worthy to be praised. And I was thinking about that song when he said we used to move like this. And I was thinking, I said, Lord, can everybody just put their hands together like we used to do and move like this? Because when I was thinking about that, I just saw two or three people in my mind. I didn't turn around and look at nobody. But God made it so easy for you to praise him. He made his dance so easy. All you got to do is rock this way, or you can rock that way. Go back and forth. He didn't make all them crazy dances that you got to go home, stand in front of the TV like I used to do. I got to learn how to do this dance before I go out. You know, he made it easy. And yet people still don't praise him. You know, it's the same old dance to any kind of music we hear. You know, just rock. That's a holy dance. You know, you don't need all of that stuff with people running around, painted all on their face, and that crazy spirit in the church. All he wants is a praise, a simple praise, but a sincere praise. God, man, he's just, you know, he's worthy. If he's worthy, give him a praise. Is he? If he's worthy, give him a praise. Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of all the praise. David said, if I had 10,000 tongues, it wouldn't be enough. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord God, with thanksgiving, Lord. We know this is the season, God, that most people think about giving. But God, we know, Father God, every day, God, is a season to give, Lord, when we have it within our means. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for this season. Oh, God, we do, God, remember you, God, not just on Christmas and Christmas Eve, Lord God. Lord God, the people are in the spirit, God. But, God, help us to always remain in your spirit, God. Lord, we pray today, Father God, that you would just speak to me and speak through me, Lord God. Help me, God, to help somebody, Lord. Even myself, God. Help me, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, as we go into his word. Lead and guide me, Father God, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel. There was with an angel a multitude, the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward all men. Can you imagine hearing something like that? That would make me so afraid. And it came to pass that the angels were gone away from them into heaven. And the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem and presented him to the Lord. And as it was written in the law of the Lord, every male that opened the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And it came to pass by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Here it is, this man, the Bible says Simon was so devout, so devoted unto God. But God had told him that he would not see death until he had seen the promise of the Savior. And it came to pass he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought him in, the child Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word. So it's a whole lot of things that people are waiting for, that God, they want to go, but God promised them something. God promised to let you see something, let you be part of something, but it's not time for you to go nowhere until you see what God promised you that you're supposed to see. So many prophecies in this church. There's so many prophecies in this church that our brothers and sisters here in this setting had seen. God showed them and spoke to them, and they spoke. But then somebody come in outside the church and confirm it. So God finna show us something. But God is still waiting for us to do what we're supposed to. This, the Bible said that the man was devout. Y'all can look devout up and, you know, get your own definition. But to me, when I looked it up, it means devoted. And when you devote yourself to something, you halfway in it. You're all in it. And I mean all in it. You know, brother was talking to me today. He said, man, I got to get things right in my house. I said, we all got to get things right in our house. You know, our houses are not in order. And if our houses are not in order, then we know this house is not in order. And so this man was devoted. I mean, that's the Bible says he was there before God often, all the time, waiting for the promise that the Lord had told him. God told us some stuff. He spoke some stuff in my life. He spoke some things in your life. Devote yourself and wait on God. And it shall come to pass. Now, it's going to come to pass. But you got to be in that place. You got to be in a position where you can receive it. A lot of folk ain't in a position to receive what God wants them to have. They got 1 foot in and 1 foot out. But God is with me. Yes, he is. But you're going to keep on waiting, and you're going to keep on waiting until you just say, Lord, you know, enough is enough. That's what it sounds like you said. Sound like you said. What it sounds like you said, enough is enough. You know, we've been doing this for years. Years and years and years, we ain't seen no change. We've seen some change. But we're looking for the change. We're looking for the change, ain't we, sister? The change. Where the Lord will come in and have his way and do what he want to do. Not what we got planned, not what we set up. You know, we can predict, we can almost predict our services. We can. We know what's going to go on this day, their holiday. It's just set. It is. Again, the Lord keep telling me, Brother Al, well, son, you keeping all those traditions. I'm keeping too many traditions. I thank the Lord yesterday that I had an opportunity to be with my children, my wife, because they know on Saturdays. About Tawana Burley bothers me. I can hear her talking, walking through the house. I don't have to do this. Look at the door and see if she's going to come. She just go right past the door. They don't even hardly call me because they know I be reading or praying, meditating. You know, they don't bother me. But I thank the Lord for giving me an opportunity to be with my family yesterday, my wife, 4 of my sons. And, man, we went down to the market. It ain't nothing like it used to be. Ain't nothing like it used to be. You know, some of my children, they were like, oh, Dad, this ain't like it when you brought us down when we was little. It ain't nothing like it. Ain't nothing like it used to be. The church ain't like it used to be. You know, the market wasn't like it used to be. We got down there, but, you know, I was just so happy when wife was walking with my children. I was behind them. I was just looking. And I was just saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, and I'm like, and Lay said, all them your kids? And I'm thinking, all them woolly-faced men, them my sons. Boy, I'm like, them jokers are, Sam, I said, them jokers are huge. Boy, I'm like, they are huge, Pastor. Not big, they huge. I'm like, the only small one was me, Twan, and Kobe. But the rest of them, they were. I'm like, man, Lord, look what you have done. Then I just started walking through the market, reminiscing where he had brought my family from. Not the little two-bedroom apartment. I started thinking about how he delivered my children, how he kept them, and all the things that they are telling us that he kept them from that we didn't know nothing about until now. You know? So don't tell me God is not good. There's some devotion, some dedicating got to happen. It is. I mean, you got to, you know, most time I forsake being with my family because I say, Lord, I got another job to do. You know, I love doing what I do. I said, but Lord, you help me to forsake them in the manner that I'm supposed to. We got to forsake some stuff. We just can't be a part of everything. You just can't. And it's good stuff too. It's good. It is. I mean good. But God got something that we're supposed to be doing. You know, and I believe when the Lord finds us doing what we're supposed to be doing, your family see what you're supposed to be doing, and you start doing it, and you start doing it with a dedication, with a devout mind, you know, you just never know who's watching you. Big brothers, little brothers, and sisters, and aunties, and cousins, when they know that, look, they, Freddie, you know, he, they go to church. But if Tawana asks him, girl, if one of them boys asks him, he gonna go. They say, no, we ain't gonna bother him. He ain't gonna go. They get other people to call me. I say, no. Thinking to myself, I tell them no, ain't no problem me telling you no. No, I can't do it. But this man was devoted to what God has told him. He stayed there seeking God, waiting on God. You know, yeah, we've been waiting for a long time. But God's going to show up. Just like he showed up with this man, he's going to show up and we're going to see God's salvation. We're going to see our children saved. Pastor keep telling me, brother, how your children coming in. I just say amen. You know, the Lord has spoken, I say. And when God speak, all you got to do is say amen. Because God ain't going to lie. He ain't going back on his word. So this man waited. So Lord, he said, verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. So when God get through using you up, you can depart in peace. You ain't got to worry about nothing else. You know, that old song, use me up. Act like y'all don't know that song. Dun, 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 dun. All right. God wants to use you. When God get through using you, you ready to go? You'll depart in peace. You won't have no problem because you'll be so joyful. You'll be so satisfied that God let you see what you were looking for. All right. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people. A light to lighten the Gentiles. And the glory of the people of Israel. And Joseph and his mother marvel at those things which were spoken of him. And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts be revealed. Let's go to Isaiah. He said this child is set. For the fall and the rise. I'm going to read this one verse. Very familiar verse. Told you I ain't going to be long. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, I used to say, and our government, the government, your government, this government, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah said, unto us a child is born, and a son is given. Solomon writes in Proverbs 17:17, he says, a brother is born for adversity. a brother is born for adversity. Here it is. We got this son, this child that was born and given to us. He was born for adversity. You know, other words, he was born for difficult times, troubled times, and times of sharing your troubles, your problem. And you wasn't just born just to be born. You a brother, you a sister, you were born also for times adversity. You were born for times such as this too, you know. And so this brother that he's talking about was born is Jesus. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2 and 9, he said, every man according to as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly and not of necessity, for God loves a cheerful gift. See, God brought this child, and he didn't grudgingly bring the child. The Bible said that God that so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But he didn't give Jesus, he didn't give his son grudgingly. He wasn't kicking and he wasn't upset. He wasn't thinking twice about giving this child. You know, he didn't give him grudgingly. He gave him cheerfully because God knew what he was doing. And the Bible tells us that we ought to give ourselves also cheerfully. Jesus said, look, if you want to follow me, take up your cross and follow me. But we were born. We don't think that we were born for adversity. We were born for tough times. That's what the Bible says about Esther. You were born for times such as this. For times such as this, yes, it's hard, it's tough. We don't understand everything, but you were born for this time. God has need to use you. God wants to use you. So God didn't give him grudgingly. He gave him cheerfully. Isaiah says that yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. You know, it pleased God to give up his son because he knew that he was going to be bruised and wounded for our transgressions. He knew that he was going to go through. Oftentimes when we have our children, we just pamper them. We don't want nothing to happen to them. You know, we don't want them going outside because we don't want no scratch on his knee. We scared he might bump his head. You know, we scared he might get into a little brawl. You know, we just pamper him. God sent his son Jesus down here to wolves. He sent him down here to the false prophets. And God's sending you to the same thing. He's sending you to the wolves in sheep clothes, and he's sending you to false prophets. But God got something inside of you that ain't going to let you fall. You ain't finna fall for the okey-doke. But he said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. You know, he put him to grief. Sometimes we feel like, why am I going through this so long? He put Jesus to grief for 33 years. I mean, he put him to grief, and the grief that he bore, we cannot handle it. We can't fathom what Jesus went through. That was a man, Mel Gibson. He made that the Passion. Boy, he got it. I mean, he had you crying. He had you repenting. He got right. But would you still think about it? I just cannot imagine what Jesus went through. The Bible said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering of sin. Man, you got to make your body an offer. You got to give yourself. You know, this is the time to give yourself. If this is the time of giving, I mean, you got to give yourself. You know, we give presents and gifts. You know, those gifts and those presents, they last. They bring you joy for a little while. But after a while, those things don't mean nothing to you no more. They don't bring you no great joy. But God gave you something that would bring you great joy. Great, great joy. Joy unspeakable, full of glory, where things in this world don't bother you no more. The world can be just falling apart. You still got joy because you're standing on something. You done devoted yourself to God. You done devoted yourself to the word of God. You got to have joy. If you ain't got no joy, you need to be asking God to give you some joy. Because you're going to need some joy in this day. We're living in the last day. You know, everything they show on the news, it ain't about joy. Young children dying. people are getting killed. Ain't no joy about that. The saints are going through. But you got to have something deep down inside of you. You can feel sorry for them. You pray for them. You fast for them. But it won't shake you. It won't move you. If it's going to move you, let it move you toward God a little bit closer. Let it cause you to devote yourself a little bit more. He said it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And he had put him to grief. According to that, he has purpose in his heart, Paul said. So let him give. Have you purposed something in your heart that you told that the Lord that you was going to give? Was it purpose? Did it have a meaning? Or was just your mouth saying something? For God, I keep saying, I live, and for God, I die. For God, you're going to live, or for God, you're going to die. And that's a purpose. According to the purpose that you have purposed in your heart, you're going to give yourself. You're going to find yourself fasting like you said you are. You're going to find yourself seeking God like you say you are. You're going to find yourself doing it because you have purposed in your heart to do it. You intended to do it. You mean to do it. And when you intend something and mean something, God going to see it, he's going to bring it to pass for you. Sometimes we don't have what it takes. But the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, he helps us get to where we need to go. Even if it means suffering, he moves you toward that suffering. You got to give yourself. God gave his son. Here it is. The man Simon's, he blessed them. He blessed Mary, his mother. And he said, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again. Set means he was sent. He was positioned. Jesus was placed before he even came. He was put in a place already. He was set for the fall. The devil thought he had him in the wilderness. The devil thought he had him on the cross. The devil thought he had him when he was being, when he was in the courthouse. The devil think he got you, but you were set. You were sent. You were placed in the position that you're in right now. Not for the falling away, but to go through. Jesus had to go through, so we're going to go through. So he was positioned in a place where we should have been positioned. He was on the cross and we should have been on the cross. While he was on the cross, we was on his mind. That's a song that says that. He was thinking about us. While he was on the cross, they were still mistreating him, still talking about him. And he was saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many of us have said that this week? Lord, forgive them. Or did we say, Lord, you let me catch up with them. Let me catch up with them, Lord. I'm going to show them. I'm going to tell them. You may not got to that point to where you had to say it, but it ain't in your heart. But we got to have the same spirit that Jesus had. Lord, forgive them. Oh, yeah. He's working on me. I ain't up here saying it's just because I'm there. I'm a work in progress. He's working on me. When it comes to my mind, I say, Lord, forgive me for even thinking about saying that. You know, what can I say, Lord? What do I say to these people that offend me? You know, they slap me on the cheek with their words. But that's all right. But it's not the hand. But when a hand strike you, what we going to do? They can say what they want to say. I turn the other cheek, hit me right there too. But I'm going to get to a place in my life to where nothing moves me. Paul said you got to reckon yourself dead. And Pastor said, how are things supposed to hurt us? How are things are hurting us if we are reckoning ourselves dead? If we dead, we ain't supposed to feel none of that stuff. It ain't supposed to be on you. It ain't supposed to do nothing to you. So we got to reckon ourselves dead. He was sent. He was placed in a position for you and for me. And we are placed, sent in a position for the world. for the world to look upon. Paul, I think it was Paul said that we are made spectacles for the world to look upon. When we're doing good and when things are not so good. He was set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. See, a lot of people think that they just fallen. They set for the fall. Paul said to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. We got to know Jesus in the fellowship of his suffering. We got to know him. We do. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Well, Isaiah, in one of them scriptures, says he is the Wonderful Counselor. He's so wonderful in counseling you. He knows how to lead you. He knows how to guide you. He knows how to say what needs to be said to you to keep you from piecing your mind off, to keep you from falling. He's so wonderful. He got every, I mean, you don't have to have a person all the time to speaking to you. You get close to like what we're talking about. You get a relationship with God. God will speak to you. He'll give you an audible voice. But most people don't believe, well, God ain't speaking audible no more. Well, he spoke to me a few times audible. He spoke to me a few times audible. He knows how to counsel you. He knows just what to say. But he's the mighty God. He's so mighty to where he'll pull you out of anything. Out of all your troubles, he can pull you out. But he's so mighty where he'll cause you to stand in your troubles. He ain't always got to pull you out of the fire. He ain't always got to pull you out of that dungeon. He ain't going to always pull you out of a situation. He's so mighty, he'll cause you to stand in the midst of your problem. You got to give yourself. You got to be ready to die. Die to sin. Die to this flesh. Give it up. Turn it over. Trade it in for what God wants you to have. He's a mighty God. And the Bible says he's an everlasting father. Man, we need an everlasting father. We got some fathers out there, some good fathers. I'm a pretty decent father. We got an everlasting father, a father that's going to be a father forever. I ain't going to be no father forever. Us fathers ain't going to be no, it's impossible for us to be fathers forever. We're going to be gone somewhere. God going to come and get us. But he's going to always be there. He's going to be a father forever. He ain't going to never leave you. He ain't going to never forsake you. He's going to provide your needs. He's going to protect you. He's going to care for you. That's an everlasting father. We need more fathers out here in the world. God trying to raise us fathers to be fathers. Paul said you have 10,000 instructors and not many fathers. We ain't got too many fathers. The fathers abandon the relationships. The fathers abandon the children. They're abandoning the wives. They just can't put up with them no more. And the wives are saying, I can't put up with him either. He's an everlasting father. He's going to always be there for you. He's going to provide your needs. He's going to see about you. He's going to lead you and guide you in the way that you should go. That's what a father does. I had this one man tell me not long ago. I was talking to my son. We were minding our own business. But he told me, well, Al, you mean tell me you don't let your sons get into such and such and such? I said, no, not if I can help it. I said, what kind of father is that? If I see my son going down the wrong way, doing the wrong thing, I said, yeah, I'm going to grab him and tell him. Now, it's up to him to do what I told him to do. I said, but I'm not finna see him get in trouble and not say nothing. You got to be a father forever. You gonna, long as you living, I don't care how old your children are, you're going to always be a father and a mother. Always. As long as you're on this side of the grass, you got something to tell your child. You got something that you can tell them. So he's an everlasting father. And he is, the Bible says, he's the prince of all peace. He promised us something. He promised us true true peace, restoration, redemption, reconciliation between us and our God. He promised us peace. He said, I give you peace. The peace that I give you is not like the world. God promised us peace in the midst of all the chaos that's going on. All the stuff that you got going on in your life, things you can't put in order. Financial situation, marital situation, the kid situation. You know, people keep asking, what did you do with your kids? How did you do this? I said, man, a lot of times I just couldn't do nothing but pray. I couldn't tell them nothing. I didn't even have the words. Sometimes they wanted to listen, but I didn't have the words to tell them. But God gave me peace that surpassed all understanding. God promised you peace. Don't think that you can't have peace. This is the time of peace. Tomorrow going to be the time of peace. Next year going to be the time of peace. Things are getting worse and worse and worse. But God promised us peace that surpassed all understanding. He said, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed. God is not going to remove his peace because stuff is falling apart. The mountain's going to be shaken. The earth is going to quake. We've been a blessed, not only a blessed nation, but we've been a blessed state. You look at all of this stuff, all the calamities that's going on in all these other states, mudslides, they burning up, tsunamis and flooding. Missouri has been pretty good, considering we're sitting on a New Madrid Fault. You know, maybe when our calamity come, maybe that's when the revival gonna break out, mother. You know, when they hit them in World Trade Center, them churches was full. I don't know about a lot of churches over here, but when stuff start happening in your own backyard, then maybe that's when the revival gonna start. Maybe that's when people say, I got to get right. I got to seek God. I got to look, girl, I can't go to Walmart no more. I got to go to church. They're having church today. Maybe that's when the revival is going to come. I don't know. But he's the prince of all peace. He said his covenant of peace will not be removed from us. So you ain't got to worry about falling. He's able to keep you from falling, keep you from being overthrown, keep you from being pitiful. God is able to do it. He will do it. He's doing it. He's doing it. He does it every day. His mercies are renewed every morning. Every time you get up and you can put your feet on the ground, swing your feet around and put them on the ground and say what you just said, thank you, Jesus. He's keeping you. That's his covenant of peace. He promised to keep you. Yeah. Though you go through, but he's keeping you. He's all over me and keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. See, Paul said, oh, to know him in the power of his resurrection. We're going to rise again. But we got to have some fellowship of his suffering. We got to suffer a little while. We got to go through some hard times, some hardships. We have to. And Paul said that this everlasting Father will always be there. And he made us fathers. He made us children of the Father by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. So saints of God, look to Jesus. Look to our Savior. Look to what God has given us. Unto us, a child is born. A son is given. Ain't too many people going to give up their children. Ain't too many people going to let them go. Give them up for you, Lord. Have your way with them, Lord. I think that's what Hannah did when she had her child. I'm giving them back to you, Lord. You know, if you haven't given your child, I don't care how old he is now, turn him over to, you still mama, you still daddy, turn him over to Jesus. Turn him over to Jesus. God know what to do with him. He knows how to lead and guide them. He knows how to get their attention. I got one of mine now just wants to argue with me about the Lord. Right, Tawana? He wants to argue. He wants to know the Lord. The Bible said, look, no more shall we be it's going to come a time that we ain't going to be able to teach. Know the Lord, he said. He said, all should know, from the least to the greatest. I said, all you got to do, man, just start picking up your Bible and start reading. I said, I talk to you, but I'm not going to argue with you. I ain't going to debate the word of God with you. So people are hungry for the truth. I won't tell him a lie about his life. I'm telling you, you got to live right. You got to live holy. Those things that people tell me that you, well, God knows my heart and he knows, you know, we ain't none of us perfect. I said, that is the truth. I said, but there's a difference between God's folk and other folk. We're sinning, but we're not willfully sinning. When we sin, we're repenting and saying, Lord, help me not to go that route no more. Keep me from those ways, Lord Jesus. You ain't going to stay there. You ain't going to park in sin if you love God. You ain't going to sit there and sin and say, well, God knows my heart. He going to forgive me. You better watch yourself, because the thief is going to come. The Lord is going to come like a thief at night, in the night. You ain't going to know when he going to come. So they going to know who God is. All God got to do is get your attention. What you said, what the Lord told me, I don't know who said that. What the Lord told me years ago about my children. I said, Lord, I can't serve you in so many words. I was telling, I can't serve you, Lord. You talking about preaching and teaching your word. I can't do it. I told, Lord, ain't no way in the world I can do that. How can I do that? If my children ain't saved, they were on my mind. You know, how can I let them go? He said, if you do my business, that's what he told me. He said, if you do my business, I'll take care of my business. They my business now. And he been taking care of them. He been looking after them. They speech is starting to betray them. They starting to sound like this dude named Al. You know, they starting to sound like me now. I'm hearing them on the phone. I'm hearing them at work talking about, they counseling people about what they should do with their children, families. I mean, young men coming to them asking them about what you doing. Well, man, I'm like, go ahead. Go ahead. God going to get them. But God got to get you, though. He got to get your attention. Once God gets your attention, he's going to get their attention. Because, look, their eyes are on you. Their eyes really ain't on God. Not yet. Their eyes are on you. They looking to see what you going to do. They were looking at me to see what I was going to do when we lost our son. What you going to do? Young men ready to be stirred up to no good works. I said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to believe God. I'd be a hypocrite if I go out there and do something different. Even if you didn't know, but he sees me. I'm going to speak good. I ain't going to render evil for evil. I ain't going to do it. Well, you just ain't going to vindicate. I am not the vindicator. See, we always want to fix stuff. Somebody got mad at me one time, not a few weeks ago, because I didn't have the answer. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, it'll be all right. I said, God will show you what to do. Well, all right, just goodbye. I said, okay. See, people looking, they looking at you to fix their problem. I'm looking for the same man that you ought to be looking for to fix my problem that'll fix your problems too. He's the fixer. I'm not the fixer. I've come to realize I just can't fix everything. I can't fix nothing except he give me wisdom, knowledge to fix it. But God gonna fix things. He gonna get things in order. He's the God of decent and in order. He's gonna put things back together. He know how his church supposed to be. He know how his people supposed to be. All we got to do be found seeking God for whatever his will is. And whatever his will is, we be found doing his will. So this is the time. This is the season to give. Keep on giving, but make sure you give the right gift. If you don't give them a toy, you let them know what that toy is all about. You gonna give them some money, you make sure what, let them know what that money's all about. Because I can't give you nothing except I give you Jesus with it. That's what it's all about. It's about giving folk Jesus. It's time to start telling people about the Lord. It's time to let them know that, look, hell is real and is waiting for you if you ain't waiting for God. Hell is real. They believe heaven is real. And they believe that everybody going to go to heaven. But everybody ain't going to heaven. Jesus said that. He said broad is the way. A lot of folk on Broadway. They on that Broadway having a ball. It, so it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. It's going to be. But there's a narrow way that we got to be on. I mean, it's straight and narrow. Only one can go in one at a time. You can't just rush your way in. You ain't on Broadway. You got to wait your turn. In line. And some folk don't know how to wait. They turn. Remember when we was shopping for the kids. I'm done. I'm just rattling. We shopping for the kids. We out there in the Walmart line. We start off 2 o'clock in the morning. Look at the devotion. Man, I was devout to get them Playboy, them what they call them Game Boys. And I was, hey, my baby got, Tawana said they got to have one. They got to have them. I just couldn't get one. And one, two, three, four, five, six of them. Keep them from fighting in the house. So we was out there 2 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. We wait our turn. Some folk cutting in. Hey, they cutting in up there. And next thing you know, you got a brawl up there. They up there fighting. But on the narrow way, you just going to have to wait. Next. God going to get to you, but just don't get off that narrow road. Stay on the narrow brick road and get off the broad road. A lot of people on broad road thinking they headed to heaven, and it's not the truth. They tell them folk because they're living the way that they're living, living in sin, God loves you and you still going, you all right. God do love you. That's without a doubt. God loves everybody. He just said, look, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Whosoever. You got to believe in God and do what God say do. But folk thinking because they living in sin, they went and got baptized. They went to church on Easter. Or they there Sunday and ain't living like nothing. And folk tell them that you're going to be all right. You know, man, I mean, mother, you say you watch YouTube with the praying and stuff. But, man, I've seen some stuff on YouTube. It's just crazy what the preachers are telling folk now. Living like I don't know what. Preachers that you think I thought would never say what they said. It's okay. God accepts everybody. I accept my children. I love my children. You love your child? Do you love your child? You know? But there's some things that they do I don't accept. You can't bring that in my house. Boy, when they got grown, they thought when we have a get together, somebody brought a six pack. I said, man, that can't even come on the premises. I don't even want it in my garage. I don't want it on the front lawn. You know, y'all got to go somewhere else with that. And that was about, but you got to stand for what's right. Even if it means standing by yourself, but you never be alone because God going to be there with you to back you up. He going to always be there with you to back you up. So you can't let stuff go on in your life. You got to tell them the truth because the truth going to make them free. Give them what they need. Give them the truth. Give them Jesus. That's what they need. They need the Lord. They need to be delivered. And keep telling them they need the Lord. So unto us, a child was born, a son was given. And his name should be called Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, the Mighty God, and the Prince of Peace. God is telling you, I have equipped you and given you all that you need. You ain't lacking nothing. God bless you this morning. I try to stretch this thing. Look, anybody need prayer? Anybody need to be fortified, strengthened, encouraged? We encourage you this morning to keep on serving God. We encourage you this morning to keep on coming to church. We encourage you to make some of those prayer meetings. We encourage you. Don't be surprised. Well, there I go again on Jack. But God is good, and his mercy endure forever. I want to say Merry Christmas to everybody. Merry Christmas to you all. Nobody need prayer. And we're going to dismiss because I know tomorrow is everybody's big day. No announcements. I think Sister Brittany is going to be preaching Sunday. So that's what. Yeah, that's New Year's Eve. Yeah, so y'all get y'all some rest. Because we got night watch that night, right? So go home and get y'all some naps. You know, all you seniors. God bless you this morning. There'll be nothing else. Let us stand and dismiss. It is a time to give. So when you go back to work, if you got a card, make sure it's a Christian card. Tell them something about the Lord. He is good. Pastor, you got anything you want to say? We got any announcements? Nothing but the night watch. And we decided what time? 9 p.m. December 31st, next Sunday. If you can make it, come on out. You know, who knows? Revival might start. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Brother Edwin, thank God for you. He got a powerful testimony. He got a powerful testimony. We thank God for you for coming, brother. Again, Merry Christmas to everybody. Let's bow our heads. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, always for your word, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the peace, Lord God, that you've given us, Lord God. We pray, Father God, that your peace, God, will rest, rule, and abide, God, in each and every one of us, in our homes, in our children, God. Lord, let peace, Father God, rest, rule, and abide, God, in our streets, Lord God. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Father God, that we remember, God, from this day forth, God, Lord God, that not only Christmas, not only Thanksgiving, but Lord God, each and every day, God, as we have purpose in our heart, God, to give, let us be found giving, Lord God, because God, we can't match you giving. We can't beat you giving. And Lord, we're just doing it because God, you told us to do it, God, out of obedience. And so we pray, Father God, today, God, as we leave this place and never from your presence, be with us, Lord God. Watch over us, Father. Hide us, oh God, behind the cross, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.